glad to be here this morning. Good to see all you guys, smiling faces. And I'm going to talk some this morning about how we're called to put God over everything else in our life. So you may notice when we come in, I have this neat graphic, God over everything. I thought it was neat. Took River a minute to figure it out on Wednesday when I was showing him. I like to bounce stuff like that off of somebody, and River's always a willing participant. So, but we're called to put God over everything else in our life. His mission for our life should be a priority, and the Bible makes that clear. It also means that it's going to require some sacrifice of us at times to do that. So the Hebrew people, they experienced temporary forgiveness of sins by the blood of an animal sacrifice, and we talked about that over the last year and some this year in our study on Wednesday night. We studied it pretty extensively. But the sacrifice of Jesus that he made to offer himself on the cross, it was an atoning sacrifice that covers all believers for the rest of eternity. So this morning, I want to point out, too, that we celebrated the sacrifice and his resurrection last week. That's it, the resurrection on Easter Sunday. Before we get into some scriptures and stuff, I would like for us to just take a minute to open up with a word of prayer. So if you would join me. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the opportunity to gather together this morning and to look at your word. And I just pray that you help us to understand and see the importance of the sacrifice that was made for us through your Son, Jesus Christ. I pray that you help us to see the sacrifices that were made, that those that come before us, Lord, to help us come to a sure knowledge of you. And I just pray that you use this time to grow us closer to you, Father, and to grow us closer to one another. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So we're going to be talking about sacrifice this morning and the cost that it takes. I want to mention, too, the impact that the sacrifice of Christ has had on all of humankind and how that should impact our priorities. So I got a story here that I'm going to read. This comes from thehistorycollection.com. This is a story about a guy. His name was John Robert Fox. He was born in Cincinnati, Ohio in May of 1915. And by all accounts, he was a smart, diligent young man, and he had earned a place at a college called Wilberforce University. And when he got to college there, he signed up for this program that's called the Reserve Officer Training Corps. Most of you probably have heard of it. ROTC is more colloquially known as. And so when he signed up for that, that meant that not only when he finished college, that meant that he wouldn't only finish with a college degree, but he would also finish with the rank of second lieutenant. So this was 1915, and not long after that, he was born in 1915, but not long after his time in college, war broke out. When the Second World War broke out, he took his commission, and he joined the 92nd Infantry Division. This 92nd Infantry Division, it was a segregated division. It was for African-American soldiers that fought with distinction throughout this whole conflict. So when he was with his unit, John Fox, he was sent to the European theater of the war, and in 1944, he found himself fighting against the Nazis in Italy. In December that year, where he was tasked with staying behind in a small village called Somacolonia, and it's in the Tuscany region of Italy. So this village, it had been overrun by the Nazis, and Americans were in retreat. Fox, he found a house to hide in, and it was he was on the second floor. He used his radio to contact his colleagues. And from the second floor of that house, he called for artillery fire to be directed at this village in order to give the U.S. forces time to retreat and regroup and then launch a counterattack. And he specifically ordered a barrage of artillery, and it did fire on his position. So the gunner who received his message, he pointed it out to him. It's awfully close to where you're at, assuming that there was a mistake. But Fox said, no, fire it. There's more of them than there are us. So his act of sacrifice here, it wasn't in vain. And just as he had planned, the barrage, it did indeed give his brothers in arms the chance that they needed to regroup and launch a successful counterattack. When the U.S. Army entered Somacolonia, they found Fox's body surrounded by the bodies of nearly 100 Germans. The sacrifice of John Robert Fox that day, it gave life. It gave opportunity, and it gave victory to his fellow soldiers in a battle with the Germans. There's no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends, right? Christ said that. I want to point out, though, this morning that the sacrifice of Christ, it gives life, and it gives opportunity, and it gives victory to us as believers. The sacrifice of Christ is so complete that there's no need for any other work to be done. The work of the cross and of our salvation, Christ said on the cross, it's finished. And I want to read some scripture this morning from Philippians chapter 2. And it touches on humility and sacrifice. It says there, though he was God, he didn't think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges, and he took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. So the last time I shared a message with you guys, it was about humility, and it's a few weeks ago. So I'm not really going to get into that in depth again, but I do want to take a moment here to recognize that where there's sacrifice, there's humility. Christ willingly gave up his life as a sacrifice for all of us, for our sins. He didn't hold on to his position in power, but instead he laid it all down as a humble servant in order to give up his life on a cross. Jesus knew that in order to rescue the world from our sin, it would cost him his life. So that's the first point I have this morning for you guys, that there's a cost. Anytime a sacrifice is made on our behalf or by us, there's a cost to it. And if you're going to follow in the footsteps of Christ, which is what it means to be a disciple, then you're going to experience sacrifice. There's going to be a cost. Jesus is pretty straightforward about this, and he tells us this same concept in the Gospels. Let's take a look at his words from Luke 14. This is verses 25 through 33 that I'm going to read. And he's talking here about the cost of being a disciple. So it says there, a large crowd was following Jesus. He turned around and said to them, if you want to be my disciple, you must, by comparison, hate everyone else. Your father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even your own life. Otherwise, you cannot be my disciple. And if you do not carry your own cross and follow me, you cannot be my disciple. But don't begin until you count the cost. For who would begin construction of a building without first calculating the cost to see if there's enough money to finish it? Otherwise, you might complete only the foundation before running out of money, and then everyone would laugh at you. They'd say, there's the person who started that building and couldn't afford to finish it. Or what king would go to war against another king without first sitting down with his counselors to discuss whether his army of 10,000 could defeat the 20,000 soldiers marching against him? And if he can't, he'll send a delegation to discuss terms of peace while the enemy is still far away. So you cannot become my disciple without giving up everything you own. So this is, admittedly, this is a difficult passage for a lot of people in the New Testament. And there's some, it was controversial at the time, I'm sure. Jesus' challenge here is God over everything. I don't think he's saying that we need to hate our families. I think that he's comparing things there, and he's trying to get the point across that we should prioritize God and his purpose for our life over everything else. To give up our plans, to give up our, we may have to give up our position. We may have to separate ourselves from some of our family members. And all of this is part of a process of discipleship. Another way to say this, and to paraphrase the lesson that Christ was presenting in that passage, is to say you have to be willing to let go of everything else to follow Christ. Christ sacrificed himself to bring us redemption. And I think that that's where the work of our salvation was done. But in the same token, we need to be willing to do the same as we share Christ with other people. We need to be willing to give up our comforts. We need to be willing to give up our time. We need to be willing to give up our energy. We need to put God over everything in our lives. Paul taught about the same concept too, but he put it a little bit different. He called it being crucified with Christ. It's the second point I want to have this morning. We need to be willing to crucify ourselves with Christ. So I can almost guarantee if you've been in church for very long or been around Christians very much, you've probably heard this verse that I'm fixing to share with you guys from the book of Galatians. And it's so important in us in understanding our position with Christ and with the world around us. It's in Galatians, it's chapter 2, verses 19 and 20. I think it's not a surprise this morning. On the way to church, I was scrolling through social media, saw a post that my dad made on Facebook where he shared some scriptures. He does that pretty much every day, and I love that. It's always good for people when they're trying to mindlessly occupy time to, whoop, there's some scripture. I do it too. But the scripture he shared this morning is this one, and I think it's not a coincidence. Galatians 2:19-20 says, "For when I tried to keep the law, it condemned me. So I died to the law. I stopped trying to meet all its requirements so that I might live for God. My old self has been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." Yes, discipleship and sacrifice will be difficult. It can be difficult. Yes, you have to be willing to let go of everything you once believed to be so incredibly important in your life. And yes, you will face opposition in this. The enemy will be there to tempt you. But yes, God will be with you always. In fact, he lives in you and he empowers us to live the life of faith. So as hard as it is sometimes to let go of things and make sacrifices, don't forget that Christ is with us in this. And he's the perfect high priest. Hebrews chapter 4 verses 15 and 16 points that out. It says, "This high priest of ours understands our weaknesses. For he faced all the same testings we do, yet he didn't sin. So let us come boldly into the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy and we'll find grace to help us when we need it most." Sacrifice takes courage. Sacrifice takes conviction. And to be willing to sacrifice, it takes confidence. Confidence in the fact that God is with us in those sacrifices. To sacrifice means we have to put God over everything. But I tell you all, when you do, it's so worth it. So that's our encouragement for today, is that when we are willing to sacrifice of our time and our energy and our efforts for the kingdom of God and for other people and for the people around us, God repays that to us tenfold. We need to throw off the past, the sin and shame that easily entangles us, and we need to run the race that's set out before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. That one's probably familiar too. Jesus sacrificed his life for the joy set before him. And let me tell you all today, there is a very deep and real joy in serving other people and sacrificing your life for somebody else. Think about the last time you went out on some sort of service project and how you sacrificed your time and your energy. And it's likely that you sacrificed some of your money or finances to serve and try to be a blessing to somebody else. And you know what? I bet in this process, you ended up being blessed by your efforts there. I know I always have. I bet you walked away having experienced a fullness that was different than you'd come across before that. I remember one particular instance, and I'll share a couple of stories with you guys, not to say, hey, I'm serving other people how I should be, but to point out the fact that God will use your sacrifices and your efforts to serve those around you to bless you. I remember one time Amber and I don't remember if we were married yet or maybe we had just got married, but we were going on a date. And for the date, I was like, I wanted to surprise her. We ended up going to Tyler, this particular outing that we had, and we went to the Salvation Army there, and we were going to serve at the soup kitchen. We did, and it was pretty funny because, you know, I remember saying, yeah, she thought we were going on a date, and I put her to work. But the discussions that we had after we, you know, went and got everything set up and helped prepare food and serve all these people, and then after you serve everybody, we just went and sat down and hung out and talked with some of the folks who were in there and were receiving that blessing. And, man, it was impactful, some of the discussions, the sense of gratitude that these people had, that there was people out there, strangers, who were willing to give up, I don't even remember what day it was, their afternoon to come up and serve them food in their time of need. They were impacted by that. It made a difference. It was powerful. That experience grew me and Amber closer together. We went and did that with the intent of being a blessing to somebody else. And God used that, turned it around, and dumped a heaping blessing in our lap. And I think it's a powerful, that's a powerful thing and testimony. And we need to be willing to share those type of experiences that we have with those around us. And hopefully, God will use that to inspire them to serve other people around us. Another one that touched me, it was a willingness to sacrifice on my part. I had a loved one who got sick a while back, and I was struggling trying to figure out, you know, how can I help in this situation? And I had recently, most any of you know me, know I am, firearms is one of my hobbies. And I had spent some time and energy and effort building this particular gun. And one of my coworkers who's into guns and that kind of shooting sports and that kind of stuff, I'd been talking and sharing with them about this. as I'm going along over 6 months building it. And I get it built, and this situation comes up with a loved one. And I was like, you know what? I've got plenty of these. I think I'm just going to take and, like, raffle this off and give the proceeds away. And so, like, I decided that this is probably something that I should do, and I'm telling Travis about it. And so I got to a point where I was willing to make that sacrifice, something that I valued and cherished and had put some time and energy and effort into. I was willing to sacrifice this. And it reminds me of a story where God provided the ram. Because in that moment, the people that I work with saw that. And they wanted to bless me and bless my family in this. And so they went and they bought another very similar item to this and put together a raffle and raffled it off so that I wouldn't have to. God used that that moment and that willingness in my life to encourage and inspire other people to serve those around them. And I think that was a powerful thing for me. It choked me up. And the recipient of that, you know, was impacted by it too. I say all that to say that, you know, sacrifice, it can be powerful. And when we trade our selfish desires and wants for a life of discipleship and serving other people, the sacrifices that we make, they have meaning and they have purpose. It gives our lives more meaning and purpose when we're willing to go above and beyond for other people. When we're willing to make these sacrifices, they have names and they have faces attached to them. And when we serve other people, it allows us at times to see our selfless impact. Without the sacrifice of Christ, though, there is no redemption. And without the sacrifice of all the saints who've gone before us, there is no church. Sacrifice is powerful, and it can change the outcomes of a battle, like the story I read about in the beginning with Mr. Fox, John Robert Fox. It can change somebody's life who needs help. And God has put people in our lives, I think in my life and Amber's life, to be his hands and feet at times when I needed help, to be that help for us. I want to point out that the work of our salvation, it's been done. But we need to be willing to be the hands and feet of God in other people's lives as well. And I know, looking around the room, that we are. I've been impacted by each and every one of you in some kind of way over the years. And I know that you guys understand and live this because I've seen it and experienced it. I just want you all to know this morning that it makes a difference. Here's a thought, too. Being willing to do this, being willing to be the hands and feet of Christ in the lives of people around us, it can redeem someone's eternity. Think about that for a moment. So no matter how life and difficult life has been or is at the moment, and no matter how far from God you may have felt in the past or how maybe you feel distant from God today, maybe you feel that that there's some area of your life that's irredeemable, I want you to know this morning that the sacrifice of Christ is completely sufficient. Today's a good day as just as any to accept the gift that God has given us through his Son. And as I get ready to wrap up, I want to take a moment to recognize the sacrifices that have been made. You know, an important one that we just celebrated last week was the death and resurrection of Christ, the sacrifice that he made for us. And there are a lot of people, contemporaries of him, that walked around with him at that time, and they were, a lot of them were educated and faithful people, but they didn't recognize the truth that he was the Messiah. For them, the sacrifice was nothing more than just a loss of human life. They called for it, actually. But for those who believe, it's the promise of eternal life. So let's consider this sacrifice and this message of Christ. Romans 3:21 and 22 says, "But now God has shown us a way to be made right with him without keeping the requirements of the law, as was promised in the writings of Moses and the prophets long ago. We're made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who we are. Our salvation is through Christ and nothing else. It's not our works. The sacrifice that Christ made should inspire us to try and be the hands and feet of God and the people around us, though. See, religion will tell us that it's about me and what I do. Religion will tell us that if I obey God, if I obey his commandments, he'll love me. And the Bible says that. Religion will tell us that we need to do. But our relationship with Christ, once we develop that, it'll help us understand that it's about Christ. And it'll help us understand that because God loves me, I can obey his word. It'll tell us that the work is done. So I have a few questions this morning that I'll leave you all with as we get ready to leave. One of them is, how will the sacrifice of Christ change your life in this coming week? The work of the cross has already been done, but as a Christian, that sacrifice should inspire you to serve, to sacrifice. How will you put God over everything? What are some things in your life that you're holding on to that you need to sacrifice to Christ, that you need to give up, that you need to let go of in order to more effectively serve God, in order to give your life and your time, your money and your effort, so that other people may experience the life change and power of the gospel? What other areas of your life are you being called to a greater sacrifice? The life of faith, it can and it will be a costly one at times. But remember that Christ is always with us. He will never leave you and he'll never forsake you. Let's pray together.